Lembit Opik on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Good morning, Planet Earth. Lembit Opik with you for another 4 hours of news and comment, where we find the facts, kill the spin, and tell it like it is about stories making the headlines all over the world. In this program today, we have a fun-filled and also hopefully informative session with some fantastic people, beginning with Martine Summers, who's going to explain to us what exactly is going on in her neck of the woods here in the United Kingdom, where it seems, to her at least, that some rather strange decisions have been made about who can live on a boat just off the shoreline and the implications that that's had on, well, basically the local population. She'll be with us in just a few minutes. Now, Shyam, he's an interesting fellow. Shyam's going to be joining us, Shyam Batra. He is standing, trying to be standing for mayor, but once again, he's fallen foul of the bureaucracy. It turns out in order to be a candidate, you either have to be the existing mayor or somebody who he doesn't find threatening. Now, I'm not saying that he's deliberately stopped the situation of his candidature candidature, but I do find it a bit unusual that a lot of our guests have turned out not to be able to stand. Well, he'll tell us in his words, without becoming libelous or slanderous, what's going on there and what he thinks is happening in so-called London democracy. We will also be speaking to others in this program today. And I have to tell you that two of the other people that we got are quite live wires in two different ways. I'll tell you more about them later, because this isn't meant to be just a menu of what we're doing today. You stay here for 4 hours. I guarantee you'll be entertained, informed, educated, and hopefully able to form your own opinions. I promise you one thing. I'll share mine if you share yours. All you have to do is go down to tntradio.live and get involved in the chat. That's also the best way to get the most out of the show. If you don't do that, sometimes you're missing out on some fascinating debate. I'm looking down already. It's begun in style, and it will continue that way as well, I think. So go to tntradio.live and have your say. As best I can, I will include your comments in the process of our dialogue. And if you've got questions as well, then please do put them in there. I want to thank you for your active contributions yesterday. We had Nick Griffin, the former leader of the British National Party, the BNP, on the show. A debate I've been trying to have for 18 years. 18 years. It's been stifled, stopped, resisted, and vetoed by authorities and those people who don't dare have a debate about racial politics in the UK with some people, just in case, I don't know why, in case these people convince you. Is it not a little bit patronising to stop me from hearing the alternative views so that you can make up your own mind? But fair play to Nick Griffin. I hope you didn't think I was just going along with what he was saying. I was trying to ask questions, but we only got going really in a short and rather energetic debate. I'd like to have him back and get deeper into his views on other ethnic origins, including my own for that matter, and what he thinks should be done in terms of these issues. He went to a couple of places I didn't expect, and we'll go back to that in the next few weeks, I hope. One other person I want to talk to you about, maybe not now, but at the beginning of the next hour, is a chap called Chris Stark. He was chief executive of the CCC, the Climate Change Committee, and apparently he's standing down. Chris Stark has now accused Rishi Sunak of setting back the country, the UK, on its climate agenda. Well, if Chris Stark is correct, fair play to Rishi Sunak. This whole thing's idiotic to begin with. There is no climate crisis. I'll explain why I think that at the beginning of the next hour. But I will say this. I am always disappointed when I see civil servants, and he was a civil servant, he wasn't elected, preaching to the elected representatives of this country about what they should and shouldn't be doing. I wonder what his next job's going to be. Will it be in the green movement or somewhere else? Fundamentally, my issue is that Chris Stark assumes that everybody agrees that there is a climate emergency. And even more strangely, he thinks it's good for the British economy for us to invest in stopping this climate emergency. Time doesn't allow me to go into detail now, but in about 60 minutes, if you're still with me, and I hope that you are, I'll explain to me why I think that his behaviour is wrong and why I think his argument is utter nonsense. He is standing down. I think it's a good thing. Maybe we'll replace him with somebody who understands the science in a way that he, in my view, does not, and actually gets to grasp the fact that human-generated CO2 can barely make a measurable difference to our climate. Now, Chris, if you're watching, if you don't like that, don't try to sue me. Try to debate me. I invite you to come onto my show and explain to me why you are right and why I am wrong. Explain to me why the human race is wrecking the climate beyond repair, or whatever you think. Put it in your words, not mine. That's a genuine offer. Just find the phone number. You'll find it at tntradio.live or get involved in the chat, and I will give you a full hour any time you want. And I sincerely hope you take me up on that. I'll tell you more about why I think Chris Stark is wrong at the beginning of the next hour. But for now, I welcome your views on this too. However, we're going to go to a boat now, the Bibi Stockholm, it's called. And we're going to find out from Martine Summers why she thinks this hasn't been the greatest thing that's ever happened to a locality. All of that with me, Lemotopic, right here in today's News Talk TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Martine Summers, welcome to the Lembitopic Show here on TNT. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Lembit. Happy St. George's Day for Tuesday.
Oh, right. Another special day. We had the one that I celebrated a couple of days ago. It was National Garlic Day. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. And my mother was French, so she would have, I'm sure she would have celebrated that too. So there you go.
French. French.
Yes.
You're stereotyping an entire country.
Maybe I shouldn't. I'm sorry about that. We are on a beautiful island this morning, the island of Portland. The sun is shining. I've had to shut the curtains because it was a bit too bright on the screen. But yet another beautiful morning on Portland, the island of Portland, which just sits at the end of Weymouth, in case you haven't visited. And with sort of trepidation, I look out of the window and I think to myself, although it's a beautiful day, although the sun is shining, the wind is a little bit high. And I think, is this good or is this bad for us? Because it's basically a day where possible another boatload of illegal immigrants will be chopping across the water, another barge load, because that's effectively how much this barge on the bottom of the island holds, is just one day's crossing pretty much. And yet we've been lumbered with this barge. It was pretty much a year ago, almost to the day, that we learnt that this hulk of metal was going to be dumped on our doorstep. No consultation, no consent. How many times have you heard this? And we have had so much for change. It's depressing. It's very depressing how much the island has changed in the year.
Let's take a step back from this. For those who may not know the situation in Australia, America, Venezuela, wherever they're listening, let's set the context here. So you live on an island which is part of the United Kingdom, just off, I don't know, how far off the coast is it? Your island?
Well, we're kind of part of the, we're joined by a causeway, which is a couple of miles long. So there's one road in, one road out, and we're in Dorset, the beautiful county of Dorset. We've got Dorchester, which is wonderful. Bournemouth is down the road. That's quite a large town, which has been hit massively by illegal immigrants, unfortunately, asylum seekers. And that's got a terrible, terrible reputation now. We're just a bit further down from Bournemouth. We have a beautiful seaside town called Weymouth, which is on our doorstep, one of the most gorgeous beaches in the country. It's been voted. We have a causeway which joins us to Weymouth. One road in, one road out. We have a 13,500 population. We have, you'll like this, we have no police station. We have a volunteer fire, yes, we have a volunteer fire station, which isn't manned. We have a doctor's surgery where you have to wait something up to 3 weeks for a doctor's appointment. I'm sure that's no sort of a surprise to most people in Britain. And when you do get an appointment, you won't necessarily see a doctor. You'll see a nurse practitioner. And services on the island are very, very lacking. And yet we are the fourth highest council tax payer in the country. So we have nothing.
So you live on an island, it's 2 miles from the coast. So probably in about 1,000 years' time, you will actually be a proper island because the causeway will get washed away in a big storm at some point.
Basically
2 miles off the coast and you've got about 13,500 people living on that island. How big is the island?
I think it's about four miles long and 2 miles wide. I mean, Portland Bill is a very famous lighthouse which sits at the bottom of the island. Portland itself is a tourist attraction. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm not originally from Portland. I have a forces background. My father was in the Air Force and my husband is ex-army. And we settled here because it is so beautiful. Most people do tend to settle here if they're not Portland born and bred because of the locality, because it is so beautiful, because it is really a bit of a touristy kind of base. It doesn't have facilities really for any other population to be dumped on us without any extra services. So this time last year, as I say, we were suddenly told that we would have our population increased by 500 with no extra facilities.
You've got a harbour, some kind of a port facility there on the island, 13,500 people. And now let's get in simple terms to what happened. What is this ship or this barge called the Bibby Stockholm? Let's work on the assumption of somebody who's never heard of any of these issues before.
Okay. So we have a working port. Portland Port, and it's owned by the Langham family, who also own a vineyard just outside Dorchester, who they are wine manufacturers, and they also own Portland Port. So it's a private port. The Home Office had private discussions with Portland Port and the Langham family, or Langham Industries, and decided to set up a lucrative deal with Portland Port, with no consultation at all to the local population, and I expect quite a large money was involved. And then suddenly we were told, bearing in mind that Portland actually has cruise ships coming in as well. There's industries down on Portland Port. The MOD works out of Portland as well. We have quite a lot of MOD activity down on the port. It's a working port. There's a grain company down there that imports animal feed. And suddenly we're told that not only will the cruise ships be coming in, which is fantastic for Weymouth and the surrounding areas, not necessarily for Portland, because they tend to bus the cruise passengers to places like Stonehenge, and off to Salisbury Cathedral. They don't necessarily use Portland and Weymouth as much as they should, actually, bringing in as much business to the local area that they should. But all of a sudden, we were told that a barge was going to be dumped on Portland, which would accommodate 500 asylum seekers. This barge was originally built for oil workers to accommodate about 250 oil workers. So it was dragged down to Falmouth and repurposed to double up on its capacity. So that in itself was a massive cost. It was then dragged round in July to Portland, and then we were told that, suck it up, buttercup, this is what's happening. And then they filled it up with asylum seekers. You must have heard about the Legionnaires on board. They had to then.
That's a disease, not a person.
That is a disease, not a person. Legionella was discovered on board. So then they were taken off. And it's just been, honestly, it's been a disaster from start to finish. It's a rusting, disgusting looking barge, which is currently holding, I think, somewhere in the region between 300 and 400 illegal immigrants, however you want to call them, asylum seekers. And it's just changed the whole demographic, the attitude, the lives of people of Portland and Weymouth in that year.
So essentially, what you're saying is you had this clearly a close community, 13,500 yeah. people on a 3 kilometer by 6 kilometer island connected by a single road to yeah. the rest of the rest of Great Britain, minding your own business. Then, due to some sort of a deal, a barge, a residential barge, originally designed for oil workers, 250 oil workers, was towed in with a capacity for 500 asylum seekers or people who want to live in the United Kingdom but haven't been approved yet. So that's essentially the core arguments here. That's right, the core facts before we go into the arguments.
That's exactly it.
Right. Now, stay with me because I really want to explore this and understand the practical implications. You've said that it's changed things a lot. Perhaps the moral implications as well, as you see them, and what should be done. We need to go to a break in a moment, but I'm very interested to know how you feel about this. And obviously, I want to get to the heart of some matters, including the local mood. What we're discussing here, if you've just joined us here on today's news talk, is the arrival of a barge with 500, up to capacity of up to 500 people who are seeking to live in the United Kingdom. In an island which is pretty close to isolated from the rest of the United Kingdom, but has 13,500 British residents on it all the same. What's the right thing to do here? Has the government done the right thing? What's the motivation for doing it? What would you do if you're in charge? We'll have a discussion on all that. Do get involved in the chat at tntradio.live as well. I'm Len Batopic. This is TNT. We'll see you in a moment.
TNT's State of the Nation.
So Democrats voted along party lines on the first article of impeachment, which charges Mayorkas with willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law, finding the charge unconstitutional. And there we go. So this DOA on arrival, pretty much as we expected, Timothy.
This is what makes me insane. The Democrats do with impunity what the Republicans will not scruple to do. This is exactly what I said Mitch McConnell needed to do with impeachment 1.0 in early 2020. Don't give it a hearing. Don't give it the time of day. Do not dignify it by holding a trial. It was garbage. This one is real. You know, Mayorkas is clearly systemically not complying with the law. So Democrats get away with not having a trial for a legitimate impeachment, but Republicans hold a trial for an illegitimate impeachment. It makes me nuts.
State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Len Batopic Show here on today's News Talk TNT. So glad you could make it wherever you are in the world. You got very lively very quickly this morning on tntradio.live chat. Do keep your comments coming, and you'll find the phone numbers there as well if you want to call in. Let me try and catch up with some of the comments here. Not all of them directly relevant to what I'm discussing with my guest, Martine Summers, but I'll read them anyway. Sunday Girl likes where you live, Martine. Portland is lovely. Went there often when I lived in Poole. It's Poole near Portland then?
Yeah, it's not far. It's part of Dorset, yeah.
Madrid says the dingy individuals will be on the streets in United Nations uniforms, armed soon. To be frank, London this morning, there's a compliment about London. Mingling, you distracted me there. Okay, it's my fault. I should have read it first. Madrid says asylum seekers that refuse help and welfare when they don't like the gift they are being given. It's a bit unusual. And Malibite says, Lembit, the correct words are illegal aliens, not asylum seekers. Let's get the wording correct, please. A couple more here. Malibite says, great show yesterday. Thanks very much. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting to have Nick Griffin on. Fascinating, actually. Madrid adds, all young men of a fighting age who hate the West and when dispersed onto the streets in their United Nations uniforms, armed with a rifle, will kick in your front door. Okay, Madrid, I hear what you're saying. I'm reading it out. Martina, I guess that hasn't necessarily happened yet, but the story so far is you've got up to 500 people, however you define them, people who want to live in the UK, joining a population of 13,500. Now, first of all, are these people actually resident there for a day or two or for a long time on the Bibby Stockholm, on the barge?
Well, okay. They are here, and we were told initially, and this is quite interesting, we had a public meeting at the beginning, which was demanded by us. And the Home Office was there on video only. However, they were soon here initially in person to sign the deal with Portland Port and Langham Industries, and I'm also sure to sign the check. But when it came to a public meeting, we had a video link. And it was really strange because every question that was a bit of a difficult one, the link seemed to fail. Strange that, but anyway, so they weren't able to answer our questions. We had no representation whatsoever from Portland Port. And we have not heard a dicky bird right up until this day from Portland Port or Langham Industries, nothing at all. They've played their cards very close to their chest. But we were told that these people are at the end of their asylum claim. It appears that that's not strictly true because we've had a couple of incidences that we are aware of where we've had a very violent assault in Weymouth and he's gone on the run. He assaulted a shop worker at TK Maxx in town after having stolen a coat and then a very violent assault, taken to court, and now he's absconded. So what we were told was these were at the end of their asylum claim, so that they would be in a position where they don't, you know, you're not going to get people who are going to rock the boat. These people are going to behave. Now, having heard this, we are then informed that most of them that arrive here then disappear. Weymouth has a direct link to London by train. Weymouth is also the end of the line. There is nothing on Weymouth in Weymouth really for them to do. And I suspect what happens is the emptying of hotels, which is the whole point of the Bibby Stockholm, really. This is the big reason for the Bibby Stockholm. The emptying of hotels onto the barge, and then this is carte blanche for them to get onto the train to then disappear into big cities. Great for the government, because they can then turnstile some more onto the barge. So they must be loving this, because it's a bit of a turnstile situation. If it's true that they are absconding, then, you know, we don't know who these people are, how far into the asylum claim system they're at. We know nothing. And it's so difficult getting information. It's so difficult. The freedom of information requests that we've put in, that we're just not in the public interest, that the response we've had back, we are in limbo as to who these people are and how far down the asylum system claim that they're at.
Let's understand a bit more about how it's changed things. Before the break, you were saying, Martine, that it's altered things in the locality. Now, you haven't got a police station on the island. No. How has it altered things?
It's altered things because people on the island are frightened to speak about it. It's a very fractured island. It's quite interesting. I was thinking the other day that Portland itself is a really good test ground for how Britain is going to be with regards to the whole asylum system situation that we're in, because you've got people who are whispering over their shoulders as to how they really feel, because they're frightened, very frightened to speak loudly. And the reason for that is there's a huge movement on Portland to shut you down. The moment you say anything at all on social media, there's a very, very nasty backlash going on. And there's been some extremely vile vilification against certain people who've spoken out and said, look, we don't want this for whatever reason, whether it be personal or for the whole, the island itself. There's been some nasty backlashes against people who've just said, look, we're not, this isn't the place for this barge to be. We're frightened. We don't need it. We can't support it. You know, Dorset Council was given £2 million. We are still trying to find out where that £2 million went. The police were given money for CCTV. I've tried to find out, where is this CCTV? It's all been swallowed up. So there's so much going on in the background that we don't know about, that we're trying to find out about. People are trying to talk to one another. But the moment you mention the Bibby Stockholm, you are closed down immediately by being shouted down as a racist or a bigot. The island is bubbling. It really is bubbling, and it's frightened, and it's frightened to say anything.
You say forces on the island. Be careful not to create a slander situation here, but who is behind this attempt at oppressing complaints?
I personally, in my view, I would say that it's probably organized. We were told by somebody who was at the port that Portland was a good place to come to for the barge, because we weren't going to resist. We were a population of least resistance. And that sentence was actually used insofar as that whilst discussions were going on, that we wouldn't resist. So,
but who do you suspect?
Non-government organisations, I would suggest.
Right. So you're implying that there's what's called nudging. It's called now that the state is using some sort of mechanism to try to oppress dissent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. I was talking with Nick Griffin, the former leader of the British National Party. He finds it hard to get a platform a lot of the time because people want to use cancel culture rather than debate to resolve these things. Yeah. And I've noticed this with issues of ethnicity as well, where as soon as you raise issues, you're accused of being a racist. Has that been happening to you?
Oh my goodness! Yes, you can't say anything. You really can't say anything. You haven't got an opinion now. You're far right. There is no opinion allowed. You're not allowed. This is what I'm saying about the whispering about the Bibby Stockholm. The moment you mention Bibby Stockholm. Portland is a big dog walking community. I've got a dog. Everybody's got a dog on Portland because of there's a southwest coast path walk, and people come down here and walk the southwest coast path. And there's a big dog walking community, and you bump into people, and you say, "Oh, morning," you know. And some of them now, instead of coming to look for the lighthouse, they come to look at the barge. That's really sad. And so, you know, you start to get into conversation and people are actually frightened to say their feelings and what they really believe about illegal immigration, asylum seekers, etc. And then you suddenly go, what do you think? And then you're in whispered tones just in case you say the wrong thing. Bigot, racist. Straight away, any conversation is shut down with the word racist, and it's big. It's very big on Portland.
If I was being sarcastic, I'd say, what are you complaining about? Bristol has the SS Great Britain, Greenwich has the Cutty Sark, and you've got the Bibby Stockholm. All three of them apparently tourist attractions.
Yeah, but not really for the right reasons, is it?
But you could maybe put a fence around, not to keep the residents of the Bibby Stockholm out, but keep the tourists out. And you could charge them £5 each to come and have a look.
Yeah, well, you could. Yeah, you could. Well, it's a cafe that's making quite a lot of money. There's the Verne Prison is on the top of the island there. And the Verne Prison houses somebody quite famous, actually. But the Verne Prison at the top there, it looks onto the harbour. And it's a fabulous view of Weymouth And you can see over to Durdle Door, actually, which is very famous. It's got an arch. Yeah. And you look down onto the Bibby Stockholm. You can see the top of it. That's where all the news reports come from. So the Jailhouse Cafe is making a fortune because the tourists come to have a look at the Bibby Stockholm. So it is actually a tourist attraction.
So I'm going to be facetious now, and you don't have to laugh. But if you've got a jailhouse on top of the island, but no police station, how do people end up there?
Because they've been naughty.
I can answer. but it seems a bit ironic as well, though, that you've got this barge, which is causing you untold misery by the sound of it, and now people are coming to look at the barge. What do those people say when they see the barge?
Well, it's disgusting. It's a mess. It's all rusted on the top. You know, it just looks horrible. It's just, I mean, forget about the look of it. You know, who cares what it looks like? It's just, we don't want Portland to be renowned and a tourist attraction for a barge full of asylum seekers. We want Portland to revert back to a beautiful island where people go walking, where people can, I mean, the Olympics was held here. The sailing Olympics was held here. Because of it's part of the Jurassic Coast. It's a beautiful place to come and visit. So we don't want people to come here for the wrong reasons.
When you say that they come there, did you have tourism there before?
Oh gosh, yes. This is what Portland is about. Portland is about tourism. Weymouth is about tourism, and this is what concerns us as well during the summertime. These men have nothing to do. Absolutely nothing to do. We've witnessed already, drunkenness and groups of men hanging around with absolutely nothing to do, although there is quite a movement to give them free sailing lessons. The council is giving them
free forgive me for saying this, but free sailing session sounds tremendously ironic.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? There's a great irony there, isn't there? Free pottery lessons, you know. They get free wet weather gear so they can go on hikes. Free football tickets for matches, and you know, I mean, they get free coaches because the port is a working port. They're not allowed to walk on and off the port, so they are bussed into Weymouth for them to wander around all day. There are these luxury coaches, double-decker luxury blacked-out windowed coaches that are Excelsior coaches that bring them off the port and into Weymouth. Obviously, it's free. So that's an additional cost on top of the £4,500 per person per month it's costing you and me to house them on the Bibby Stockholm, which is far and above any hotel. £4,500 a month per person.
The inference about antisocial behavior, what are the behaviors that you're observing that are so distressing or so unsatisfactory?
Drunkenness. There has been an incident on Portland. Portland has a capital called Easton. And a couple of weeks ago, really sadly, I have to just point out, we're not entirely sure whether these chaps came off the barge or not, but there was an approach to young children within the square by two Asians who were taking photographs, offering sweets, offering money to the kids, to a couple of teenagers, following them home. And this really did galvanize the community. So, and we have no police station. So what's the automatic reaction? Well, the automatic reaction is Facebook and to let people know, please be warned, these two are wandering around. And their photos were taken. These two are wandering around. and they've approached children. So when the police did finally arrive, from what I can gather, and there's also been a an approach where a young lady was pulled by, and this was one from the Bibby Stock phone, from what I can gather, not entirely substantiated, was pulled by a gentleman from the Bibby Stock phone. And she again put on Facebook, said, please be careful. When she was interviewed by the police actually said to her, don't put it on Facebook. And she said, well, we don't have a police station. What do you want us to do? What are we supposed to do when there's nobody here to help us? So it's things like this that people are worried about. They're worried about the reactions of these men in the summer, when the summer is at its height, and there is a certain amount of drunkenness possibly involved during the summer. We are going to have youngsters on the beach in bikinis, wandering around, scantily clad, and there is genuinely a worry about that.
Is it an all-male facility?
Oh, absolutely. Entirely all-male. Entirely male. So
you got 400 men, all living, there's no connection to the community, all living basically in the harbour.
Correct. And you're right about no connection to community, because this business about the bus is beginning to really pee people off. We have to stand at the same bus stop, getting on a rickety old local Dorset bus, pay your money, and then right next to it comes up behind beautiful, great big Damery coach, blacked out windows, luxury seats, hop on. Now, our argument is, why isn't there a little minibus running from the harbour to the bus stop? They can get on the bus with a bus pass. They are bussed in every half an hour and back on luxury coaches, which stop at exactly the same place that we stop at. And yet we have to pay to get onto our... It's just madness. It's creating just division, isn't it? It's just creating division. So it's just bubbling and bubbling, this kind of attitude to keep them apart, to make things difficult for the locals. Doesn't make sense.
Maddie Bice says John O'Looney has said a while ago, a sitting MP had told him the illegal aliens are future UN soldiers, and that's why the government are allowing them here, as it's all part of the global agenda. The other comment here from Madrid, these vile parasites are attacking people here. Mogden says they don't give, I can't read it out exactly, tuppence about this country. Somebody suggests sink it. I think it's probably not legal to do that. And just a couple more. It seems to, well, and let me summarize it. Yeah, where is the deterrent, says Louise S. If they are being given all this free stuff, that's pretty much the point that you're
making. Yeah. I mean, on board, they have NHS services on board. They have access to NHS services. They have opticians. They have, I'm just quickly looking at my notes, please excuse me. They get taxis to dentists.
Okay. Let's just go. We're going to go to a break. We're going to carry on. I've got lots more comments in, a few questions for you as well. You're listening to Martine Summers, who's talking about the Bibby Stockholm with a capacity for up to 500 people seeking to live in the UK. She says it's altered the tone of life on Portland. They're getting free luxury bus rides to town while the locals have to pay. They've got luxury coaches. The locals haven't, and there's no police station, and yet there could be an increase in crime. Do keep the calls and comments coming. We'll come back to them in just a moment. You're listening to Lembotopic here on today's News Talk TNT. See you in a moment.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep going.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing, nurturing, rescuing, honoring, protecting, caring, inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
You are loved. You are valued. You are resilient. You got this.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving.
Lembit Opik on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Lembit Opik Show. Coming up in the next hour, we've got Sham Batra, who's been apparently prevented from standing for Mayor of London by what sounds like another bureaucratic nightmare. Where have we heard that before? Is it possible that it's so difficult for people to stand in the mayoral election because it reduces the competition? We'll find out what Sham says about that in about 20 minutes. But for now, we're with Martine Summers, who's telling us that the arrival of a big barge for migrants who are seeking to stay in the United Kingdom has really disrupted life in the previously peaceful and close-knit community of Portland, essentially an island 2 miles off the coast of Britain, connected by single road. A population 13,500, with up to 500 people on this barge. Martine, you were saying that people are pretty unhappy about this, and it's caused quite a lot of reaction. Let me read some of it to you. Chris says, "Stop paying your council tax, Martine." I can't endorse door breaking, but I'm just reading it out there. Mogden says, "There is no deterrent. They don't want to deter them. This is destruction from the inside." Mr. Moose says, "It's all by design so that you can get angry." Annie H. says, "Really, those of us in the northern industrial towns and cities are lucky. The invasion has been gradually increasing over the years, though." Mr. Moose says, "Banks are removing cash and moving to all digital future. I redacted," and well, they're talking about digital futures, and I suspect that's part of the same move. And Mogden adds, "It's not madness. It's all by design and hoping to stir up trouble so that more security can be imposed." All right. So, Martine, there's a certain amount of sympathy here. I'm concerned about the fact that you feel impotent in stopping what's going on.
Yeah. And I agree with the people's comments as well. Of course, it's done by design. We are arguing about the Vivi Stockholm. Meanwhile, in plain sight, we are seeing more and more people moving into basically social housing. There's quite a lot of building going on in Weymouth and Portland all of a sudden. Suddenly money's being found, isn't it, for social housing. I'd be interested to know who's going to go into this social housing. And, you know, there's a gentleman on the island. I just need to mention him. He's very, very private, but it is a case in point. There's a gentleman on the island who's fallen on hard times. He's living in a caravan with his two little dogs. He's got no electricity, no running water, and somebody's kindly set him up in a caravan on their land. Where are all these local councillors for him? All the local councillors are all backing and advocating the men on the barge. Where's the help for this poor chap that has fallen on hard times? It happens. Who's looking after his mental health? Who's sending him off in taxis to go and, you know, to visit the optician, the dentists? Who's paying for his mobile phone? You know, it's sickening, actually. It's really sad that there's money, that money can be found, billions can be found. CTM, who are the company that are managing the barge, They were paid £1.6 billion for this contract, which apparently has been extended to February 2026. Yeah, exactly. They have just been awarded.
Just say that figure. Sorry, say that figure again.
£1.6 billion.
That's billion, as in thousand million.
Billion. Yeah. £1.6 billion, right? They have just been awarded a contract, a £100 million contract. CTM is a corporate travel management. They're an Australian firm. Look, have a look at them. The paperwork on the Home Office site is so redacted. It just pretty much has the title corporate travel management. I've sent it on to Richard Drax, who is our local MP, to say, please, can you tell me that this is not another barge, that this is not a cruise ship? What is this for? He said he sent it on to the Home Office. I haven't heard back. I've chased it up three times to find out what is this extra £100 million about?
I'm still reading with this figure. Let me just check. What do you think is being bought for this £1.6 billion, which is about over 3,000 million Australian dollars and about $2.2 billion? What do you think is being bought for this?
Well, this was the original sum.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, did it break up again?
That's right. The
Telegraph came up with this figure right at the very beginning. I think this was the initial contract to buy the barge, to set up the barge, to fit it all out, to place the barge and to manage it. That was the initial figure thrown at us for the whole setup cost. So that was to CTM. So it's a huge amount of money. And as I say, and now there's a £100 million contract just been awarded at the end of March, or the beginning of March, to CTM again. What's this about? What's it for? And you can't get to the bottom of all this huge amount of money to this lump of metal at the bottom of the island. Yet there's this poor fellow in this caravan who's got nothing. Where is all this money going from?
He should go and live in the barge.
Well, precisely.
It sounds like a cushy number.
I'm sure he'd love to. I'm sure. And this so-called prison ship, if you look on TikTok, they're all dancing around having a whale of a time. They've got a pool room. They've got a computer room. They've got translators. They've got a gym. There's a TV in every room. They're all en suite. There are people that would dream to be living on a place like that. They've got free trips into Weymouth. And what's a nice little added extra for them, that the local Baptist church is taking them in and converting them all from Muslim to Christians. So that,
hold on. So on top of everything else, I've got some interesting comments to read to you in a moment, Martine. On top of everything else, there's some baptism going on.
On Weymouth Beach. Mass baptisms. Apparently over Easter weekend, 200 baptisms on Weymouth Beach. Somebody drove past and thought there was filming going on for a film, so didn't really take any notice. Turns out mass baptisms, pray to stay, apparently is the terminology.
Pray to stay.
Now, I actually personally have set up a government petition to say changing your faith should not be part of the asylum seeker process, because we are a multi-faith country. Shouldn't matter what faith you are in order to stay in this country, and it shouldn't be part of the process. But the reason that it's being done is if you're a Muslim and you fail the asylum seeker process, you cannot be sent back to a Muslim country because you'll be persecuted as a Christian. So this is why this is happening. So they're taking their Muslim faith, converting to Christianity, so that they can't go back to a Muslim country because they will be persecuted, allegedly.
Remarkable.
So I have a petition actually online now going, so please sign it, everybody.
don't you have to prove that you genuinely have a grasp of Christianity to convert? Or is it apparently just something not. You can do?
Well, apparently you have to be you do have to apparently be sponsored. So I'm not sure who's sponsoring these people. And the barge actually was only really occupied properly, I think it's only about 6 months ago. So nobody has a long term relationship with any of these. Well, they may have a long term relationship with any of these men. In order to really clarify that, yes, these are genuine converts, if you like. So, yeah, there's that going on as well.
Let me read you some of the messages that have come in, actually, to YouTube. Sally says, thank you, Martin, for putting across how most of the residents of Weymouth and Portland are feeling at the moment. I live in Weymouth, and I'm dreading the summer. And Dr. Susan Phoenix adds, this is such an important discussion with repercussions for the whole country. Social division, local small groups being funded to encourage division by those naive to think that brain surgeons might be on board. I get this feeling that you don't imagine there are too many brain surgeons and very high value contributors to the British economy on board.
I kind of think it's probably unlikely. I'm not so sure that many brain surgeons would get out of their tree, sat on the beach with a can of lager. I could be wrong.
There probably is one somewhere.
maybe that's what keeps them going.
You're being brain surgeonist now. Just a quick one. It's an aside, but if I don't do it now, I'll forget. Fox says, Lembit, this isn't a criticism of you. Lembit urgently needs to research UN Agenda 21, as he seems to be clueless on it. He appeared to laugh at John O'Looney's assertion that the migrants are there to be UN soldiers, but he is 100% correct. I know all about Agenda 21, Fox. I knew about it, local Agenda 21, as it was called in 1992. I just thought it was a joke. I didn't think it was a serious piece of politics. And lo and behold, now it's right at the heart of the United Nations, which causes me to not respect the United Nations. I don't want to distract us too much, though, because we've only got a few minutes left with Martin. Question for you is, what should be done about this, Martin? What do you think should be done? Not what will be done. What should be done about this situation?
Well, it goes back really to a comment I made right at the very beginning, which is, you know, the government were really quick enough to set up tents and get us all vaccinated, drop of a hat, just like that. Let's work on this really, really quickly. We could, if we really, really wanted to, and this is kind of a bit pie in the sky, we could pick these people out of the water, we could put them onto boats, and we could take them to cruise ships, which are positioned around, my husband and I were talking about this morning, somewhere around like the Ascension Islands, somewhere like that, and have processing centres on big cruise ships. If you're going to throw £1.6 billion at one Australian company, surely let's just get to the crux of this and say, okay, we will pick you up out of the water. We will take you to a cruise ship. We will process you. And we will say to you, look, you can stay, or no, you can't. And we will take you back to France or to wherever you need to be going back to. But we need to get the processing right. And this is where we're not, I think we're failing miserably. And we need to be getting it sorted and getting them back to, I don't think we're sending anybody back really, are we? We're just letting them disappear into the ether, into this country. I just don't believe. I don't believe we're actually doing anything about it at all.
I wonder why it takes. We're pretty much out of time, so it's rhetorical more than anything, Martin. But I wonder why it doesn't just take a few days to resolve these issues.
I know.
Why does it take months or years? A friend of mine,
and it worries me that nothing's happening. It just really worries me that we're at a stalemate where nothing is happening. What is actually happening? And it's nothing.
I'd be quite keen. I'll talk to the team, the production team. I'd be quite keen to do an outside broadcast down from Portland so
Please
that we could
do.
Speak to local individuals. If you think that would be worthwhile, then maybe we can do
It'd
that.
Be fab.
We could invite the MP to come as well. Martine, yeah. Thank you for your candidness. I'll put that in the system. Let's see if we can do it.
All right.
I can pay you £5 to look at the Bibby Stockholm.
I'll buy you a cup of tea at the jailhouse.
Yeah, Jailhouse Rock. Thanks very much indeed. That's Martine Summers is describing a surprising situation where the comparatively large number of migrants being held on a boat can actually alter the tone of life in the area. Let's see if we can do an outside broadcast there. Coming up in the next hour, I'll read some of the comments. There's some whole big debate about whether I'm out of touch or not. I'll read all the answers, all the questions out. Maybe I can defend myself. But also, we got Sham Batra coming on, who would like to be a mayoral candidate. Maybe he's been stopped by bureaucracy. What's going on there again? It's a story I've heard before. Let's hear it from Sham's point of view. All of that with me, Len Topic, right here on TNT. See you in a-